Philippians 4:19 reads, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." I am Rob West. Well, no doubt that verse has assured countless believers over the centuries of God's unfailing love. But what does it really mean? Is it possibly misunderstood? I'll talk about that first today, then it's on to your questions at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Obviously, the most important need God has provided is salvation through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. But after that, is there a limit to God's earthly provision for us? Well, there certainly is. We must always remember that Philippians 4 does not say, "And my God will provide every want of yours, only your needs, according to his sovereign will." Now, does that mean God wants you to take a vow of poverty? Some have mistakenly taken Jesus' answer to the rich young ruler to mean something like that. It's an important teaching included in all three of the synoptic gospels. But Jesus only told him to sell all he had, give to the poor, and follow me to reveal what was in the heart of the rich young ruler, a love of money and wealth that was greater than his love for God. We must all be wary of that in our own lives, no matter how much or how little we have. God may intend for some of us to experience great need at times as a part of his plan, but nowhere does the Bible teach that we're all to live that way. Now, if the Lord doesn't mean for us to be poor necessarily, should we then expect great riches? I know most of you are shaking your heads no right now, but far too many people have been duped into that thinking. Of course, I'm talking about the so-called prosperity gospel, which is contrary to Orthodox Christian theology. It claims that God will reward you with material wealth and physical health according to your faith. So as your faith increases, so will his reward to you. Of course, God's word never promises material reward. Now, that false doctrine rests upon another one, related to Christ's atonement for us on the cross. It states that Christ died not just to remove our sin, but to also remove poverty and sickness, as if opening the gates of heaven for us for all eternity wasn't enough. The prosperity gospel is actually a modern invention. It started in the U.S. on a small scale in local congregations and tent revivals after World War II, but it really took off through the use of radio and television to reach millions and lead them astray by the 1980s. It's also responsible for giving televangelism a bad reputation. There are many true Orthodox Christian preachers on the airwaves, of course, but the world tends to lump them in with the relatively few prosperity gospel preachers. The prosperity gospel may have started in the United States, but it certainly hasn't ended there. It's still spread by misguided or false teachers, and not surprisingly, it seems to spread faster in areas with great poverty. So it's really taken hold in Africa, South America, and other areas where people struggle to make a living or have chronic disease. So how can you tell if someone's a prosperity gospel preacher? Well, theologian John Piper has identified several common traits to watch for. The absence of doctrine related to suffering. In John 15:20, Jesus warns, "Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." John Piper says the absence of a doctrine of self-denial, the absence of detailed exposition of Scripture, church leaders with exorbitant lifestyles, raising the importance of self over the greatness of God. If you think the prosperity gospel is being preached in your church, pray for discernment and study God's word. If you become certain there's false teaching presented in your church, follow Jesus' instruction in Matthew 18:15-17, which reads, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault, between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector." Or you can simply look for a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church. So to recap, God will always provide for your needs as He determines them, and all He expects is that you be a faithful steward of that provision. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You're listening to MoneyWise on American Family Radio, and we'll be right back.
On American Family Radio. Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm here to help you understand how urgent and how fun it is to share your faith at every opportunity through the eyes of a layman. Sharing your faith is an adventure. It requires no talent because it's not about you. It's about the people God brings to you and God wanting to reveal Himself to them through you. And He, not you, knows exactly what they need to hear to believe and accept His Son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior. When you get in the way of what He wants to tell them, the conversation goes sideways. You don't have to prepare or worry about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit does that for you, and the words that come out of your mouth will surprise even you. You'll wonder, where did that come from? And laugh. Great faith sharing is the exact opposite of being uptight. It's fun. Trusting God and allowing His Holy Spirit to flow through you and change the life in front of you. There is nothing more exciting than knowing God is using you to move people closer to Him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
If you're investing for retirement or any other goal, you may be wondering if it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market. Sound Mind Investing has a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians learn to be wise and faithful stewards in the area of investing. Profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, at soundmindinvesting.org.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White.
Hannah took her pain to God, and God heard her and was with her.
Hannah's Heart helps couples process infertility and miscarriage through a biblical lens. Join us Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. Find the podcast at afr.net.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options in plain English? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit MoneyWise.org and click the link that says Find a CKA. That's MoneyWise.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We're going to be taking your calls and questions here in just a moment. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. We have a couple of lines open. This week's featured scripture verse in our weekly Wisdom Email Digest is from Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And that's good news from God's Word today. If you'd like to receive our weekly email of the latest trending financial topics from a biblical perspective, you can simply go to moneywise.org and click on the button that says Create Your Free Account to subscribe. It's delivered each Thursday. In fact, the latest edition will be out this morning with some thoughts from me and, again, a digest of the latest trending biblical financial topics. MoneyWise.org, click Create Your Free Account. Coming up on the broadcast today, your questions. We'll tackle some emails today as well. How do you help a parent as an adult who's struggling? And should you come in and pay off off credit cards when they're making poor decisions? How do you navigate that? Well, I'll weigh in on that question today that came from a listener. Also, prosperity and adversity. We experience both. How should we respond in either? And where does wisdom fit into all of that? I'll weigh in on that topic as well. Of course, your questions throughout the broadcast today, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to the phones. We're going to begin today in Mississippi. Evelyn, you're our first caller. Go right ahead.
Yes, good morning, brother. I just want to know, because I was married to my husband for 27 years now, and we have an age gap, and I was an Asian American. Yes. And I was retired too because of my accident at East Mississippi State Hospital. Now my question is, my husband is 91 years old now, and I was 64, and if something happened to my husband, I don't know, is the Social Security going to give me some of his Social Security, because I'm just receiving about $700, and we have this house payment plus everything, and I don't know how can I cope with that. Would you please help me?
Yes, absolutely. This is a situation where you have, during his life, the ability to receive up to half of his benefit, as long as your spouse is at least age 62, and he is here. The spousal benefit can be half of the worker's primary insurance amount, depending upon the age at retirement, and then you can begin receiving those benefits. As a widow or widower, full retirement age or older, you can receive up to 100% of the deceased worker's benefit, depending upon the situation. So I would recommend, Evelyn, that you get in touch with the Social Security Administration, just so you can begin to understand exactly, based on your record and that of your husbands, what you would be entitled to, so that you can plan around that. And then the key is to begin to work on a spending plan so you understand exactly what your expenses are and what you would need to cover those in light of the Social Security you're receiving now, but then also down the road as well. Would his 100% of his benefit, if he, since he's beyond full retirement age, would that satisfy your monthly needs?
Yes, sir. But I have a question again. If, for example, something happened to him, you said a while ago that the Social Security were going to give me half of his receiving, and should I contact them right away or what? I don't know.
Yes.
Should I contact them right away?
You would let them know once he passed. But when a Social Security beneficiary dies, the surviving spouse, which would be you, is eligible for what's called survivor's benefits. And a surviving spouse can collect 100% of their late spouse's benefit as long as they reached full retirement age, which clearly he did. And then you know, the amount would only be lower if they claimed benefits before full retirement age. So you would call the Social Security Administration to apply for survivor benefits, or you could do that online at ssa.gov. But that assistance would be there for you that you could then use to cover your expenses. And again, I think the extent to which you know exactly what your expenses are and you have a spending plan established would be really key so that you know that you're going to have enough to cover your needs moving forward. But ssa.gov is where to go, and you absolutely would be able to get those survivors benefits. And we appreciate your call today, Evelyn. God bless you in your journey forward. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Tom in Texas. Tom, how can I help you, sir?
Yes, thank you for what you do.
Oh, thank you.
I have a question. I have an IRA at a bank, and I turned 72 this year, so it'll be the first year I have to take a required minimum distribution. And thinking about also doing a qualified charitable distribution as part of that.
Yes.
Okay, my question is, for instance, if I had did a $4,000 RMD, and did a $3,000 QCD. Would at the front of the 1040 instructions, it says what the threshold is for you even having to file an income tax report. I'm single, 65 and older, so last year is $14,250. Would I count the whole $4,000 RMD, or would I only count $1,000, not counting the QAD as gross income?
Yeah. So the QCD, the Qualified Charitable Distribution, which for the benefit of our audience is an opportunity to make a distribution that would otherwise be taxable, but have that excluded from your taxable income as a gift to a charity. And so because that would be excluded from your taxable income, it would not be factored in to that amount that you referenced for a single person ages 65 or older, a minimum of $14,250 to file a tax return. So you would be able to satisfy your required minimum distribution and then take that portion out that you're giving through the qualified charitable distribution, exclude it from your taxable income, but get that directly to the ministry to use for their purposes. So I think that will be a great strategy for you, Tom.
Okay. So if the IRS comes back and questions that, I just have to prove to them that I took a QAD so I didn't have to count that toward the threshold in filing a tax report.
QCD, yeah, Qualified Charitable Distribution. Yep, so you'll need to have that all documented. I would probably just run all of this by a tax preparer, Tom. You know, it's just worthwhile to make sure you have somebody, a professional, looking at your situation. Obviously, I have limited information in terms of my understanding of your situation, so never a bad idea to have somebody just take another look at it and make sure that everything is being done properly. But yeah, just based on generally what you're describing here, it doesn't sound like you would have enough income to warrant a tax return. But always a good idea to get some wise counsel. So, Tom, God bless you, sir. Thanks for calling. And, folks, if you'd like to consider a qualified charitable distribution, I'd encourage you to. If you need to take a required minimum this year, a great way not to pay taxes on it and to bless your favorite ministry. 800-525-7000. Give us a call. We'll be right back on MoneyWise.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put just, back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
Your kids are grown and you're in a new stage of life. It's a challenging adjustment, but author Dr. Jim Burns says now is the time to make a fresh start. And his new book, Finding Joy in the Empty Nest, will equip you with practical biblical advice. Learn to manage big issues like aging parents, managing a fixed income, or how to help your children. Request your copy of Finding Joy in the Empty Nest with a gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org.
Do you think it's okay for biological males to change in girls' dressing rooms, take college scholarships reserved for women, and use the legal system against females who disagree? The Department of Education does. They're proposing a new rule to force schools, colleges and universities, and females in general to accept an LGBTQ redefinition of gender. Let your voice be heard today and tell the Biden administration you oppose this new rule. Find all the details at afa.net.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word.
And we have set our face as a flint to stay true to God and His Word.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Thrilled to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. This is where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. We'd love to hear from you today with phone lines open, 800-525-7000. What are you thinking about financially today? How can you process that decision through the lens of Scripture as we apply the counsel of God's Word to your financial decisions and choices? The themes that we see in Scripture that we're to live by holding what God has entrusted to us loosely, by accepting our role as steward or manager, by not allowing the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches to choke out the word in our lives, to live with contentment and have generosity be a theme or a hallmark of our life. As we put all of that together and then seek the Lord for His guidance for us individually, we can then make decisions about lifestyle and saving and giving and all of it. But we want to do that together here in community each day on MoneyWise. And we'd welcome your calls. Phone lines are open at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Our team is standing by to take your call. Back to the phones we go. Montana, Alan, thank you for calling, sir. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Rob, thank you and your wonderful staff for taking our call. We appreciate the service that you do for everybody out here.
Well, thank you.
My elderly brother-in-law has poorly managed his life in regards to assets, funds, et cetera, his entire life. Unfortunately, he has encountered health issues requiring him to be admitted to a hospital and to extended care permanently, assisted living, as it would be. He is now relying on his former wife and his siblings to help him remain in the assisted living while his home is being cleaned out, prepped, and ready to be sold. It'll take at least $50,000 by the time it's sold in several months, and he's used up all of his assets, all of his liquid assets. He has 10 credit cards with a balance of, let's see, $13,000, some in the rear. And our fear, if we come to his aid to help him by securing a loan in our names, he may back out of selling his house and leave us holding the note. Man, we'd appreciate any insight on possible approaches to this dilemma we've got ourselves into.
Yeah. So is he willing to sell it? It's just the matter of getting it, all the clutter and things he's collected over the years cleaned out of there and then getting it into a shape where it could be sold. Is that the issue?
He comes and goes with that. Most of the time, I'd say 98% of the time, he says, yeah, let's get it sold. But this has happened twice before. That he's been offered the assistance to. This time we've actually been successful in getting most of it cleaned out. I mean, he's almost there.
Yeah. Okay, great. And then have you gotten a realtor in there, Alan, to take a look at what actually needs to be repaired to get it sold versus what you might just leave and give a credit at closing for?
A realtor actually has gone in there. In fact, they're taking photos today because they're so pleased with the results of it. And it should be ready for market here, hopefully, Lord willing, in next week.
Okay. And then is he able to cover the minimums on these credit cards, or are they getting behind?
They're behind.
Okay. Are they already in collection, or is it still relatively recent?
No, he just keeps adding credit cards.
Yeah.
This amounts to quite a few, actually.
Yeah. Well, the challenge here, obviously, is you don't want to continue to encourage the negative behavior. And so then some tough love is going to have to be involved here. At the same time, I realize it's a family member, and so you want to be helpful. But unfortunately, we're just going to allow this situation to continue to spiral out of control if we throw good money after poor decisions. So I think the key here is to get the home sold. I'm delighted to hear that the difficult process of cleaning it out is perhaps almost behind you, if not all the way, and you're on track to get it sold. You've got a realtor in there. I think you need to just capitalize on that momentum that you've got just to make that assumption a reality that we're selling this thing and we're going to let it go and not worry about making all of the repairs, but just allowing the realtor to navigate this. It's still a relatively strong real estate market, even though it's cooled as of late with interest rates and the prospect of a recession. But nevertheless, you know, if you're willing to give some credits for somebody to come in and make repairs and perhaps do the renovations they want at the time of closing, that takes that major project that could really delay this off the table and allows you to get it sold in a relatively short period of time. And then it's just a matter of, you know, him being willing to kind of dial in his spending. You know, obviously you're not legally responsible for the balances unless you or your wife signed for them. And so it's really a matter of conscience as to whether or not you want to, you know, come in and help to pay these off. One option would be to say, listen, if you're willing to put these in a credit counseling program where there'd be one fixed monthly payment with lower interest rates with our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org, then, you know, perhaps you share that payment and you make your portion directly to them and he does as well. And if he's not willing to keep up his end of the bargain, well, then yours stops too. And, you know, at some point he's going to have to decide, am I willing to take the steps to do what I need to do to get out from under this? And obviously, if the house is sold, then that gives the ability to come in and pay that off in a lump sum. At that point, now he's out from under the monthly payments for the credit cards because those have been paid off. He's got a little bit of a nest egg. And then at the end of the day, it's just really, is he going to be willing to live within his provision, or is he just going to run through that money and get back into this situation, you know, a year or so from now? So I think the key is, let's stay on track to get the home sold. That's a really big piece of this. And then I think perhaps using the credit counseling program where you would essentially match his payments, which is in effect, rewarding the right behaviors to the extent he's willing to do his part. What are your thoughts on that?
That's a good idea. Definitely not a Christian, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Matching his payments, I think because he's utilized all of his liquid assets now, the only thing he has is Social Security income. It's pretty minimal to help him through those the challenges for the next couple months.
Yeah. What is the minimum each month? Do you know? Have you calculated that?
A minimum for...
To cover all the credit cards if you were to get them back current.
$13,000.
And what's
the minimum?
Yeah.
Minimum? I'd estimate probably $400.
Yeah, I was going to say 3%, so about $390. Would he have $150 a month? Well, let's do this. I've got to take a quick break. If you'll hold the line, we'll finish up on the other side. We'll be right back on MoneyWise. Stay with us.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
We all have times of discouragement, but there is hope. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Hey, I have good news for you. God is the God of encouragement, and God has a good word from His word to encourage you, to lift you up, and to change your outlook.
Learn the power of simply having a godly outlook. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart each weeknight at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes be like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Siri, I need some help.
What's up?
Well, sometimes I feel like I can't get a handle on my money. I mean, where does it all go?
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app.
It's a free app that will help you plan your budget and track your spending.
Oh.
Like the $3 you spend every morning on coffee.
Well, not every morning.
You'll also get access to free biblical financial advice.
Sounds awesome. Let's do it.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Lines are open, 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we were talking to Alan. His brother-in-law has really been a hoarder, and some of his habits have kept his home from selling. He's now in a nursing home, and his brother-in-law joins us on the call today, Alan, he and his wife are really trying to determine how can they be of help. They need to sell the estate, but they're moving in that direction. It does need some repairs, and the family's asking for Alan to help his brother-in-law with his debt. And Alan, I think, you know, just going back to what we were saying before the break, I'd love for you to do the things that reinforce the right behaviors. If, you know, it was, let's say, $390 a month to cover these minimum payments, but we were to do it through a credit counseling program where the interest rates are reduced, so now it's going in the right direction, would he have even $200 a month left over after his bills to do his part?
I think we could squeeze it out of him.
Yeah.
Have to, yes.
Well, I mean, obviously the key is, does he really have the desire to take care of this? And if no, then, you know, you can't force him to do that. But I think that would at least be a reasonable scenario that allows you to get all of this back on track. And then the singular focus is to focus on getting the home sold. I think beyond that, you know, the extent to which I see here in my notes, you perhaps were considering taking a loan to help here. I wouldn't do that. I mean, clearly the Lord wants us to, help those in need, and our family, you know, is in a special category there. And so I think that honors the Lord, but only to the extent we're able. And you going into debt to do that is something I would, you know, really discourage. So I think at this point, I'm delighted to hear you're leaning into this. I think we need to be wise about it. And at the end of the day, he needs to do his part to get out of this situation and move forward. So we'll ask the Lord to give you some wisdom as you navigate this, Alan, but I hope that was helpful to you, sir.
Very much so. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Alan, God bless you, and thanks for your call today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you. Jamie in Louisiana, you go right ahead.
Yes, I was calling to ask if you could clarify the Biden bucks, the digital currency that he passed a law that is going to take place.
No, there's not a law that's been passed, Jamie. Perhaps you have some misinformation about a digital currency. The only thing that's going on right now is the Federal Reserve is looking at, they've been asked to do some research by way of executive order on a central bank digital currency, a CBDC, which basically just means, you know, what you're seeing with the blockchain technology and the cryptocurrencies is an unregulated form of digital currency. This would be a digital currency actually issued by and backed by the U.S. government through the Federal Reserve, and a host of central banks around the world are actually exploring the potential benefits, but also the risk risks of getting into digital currencies, and they're looking at it from a variety of angles through technological research and experimentation, and they're really just trying to determine could it improve upon safe and efficient domestic payment systems, and would that be something that the Federal Reserve would like to move into? Physical currency, the reserve notes, are the only type of central bank money available to the general public today in the United States. So it's something we just need to watch and continue to monitor. It's obviously of high interest, and the regulatory environment is going to continually be changing, especially as the central banks of the world think about their involvement in these cryptocurrencies as well, which is why there's been so much volatility there as of late. So nothing has passed. There's nothing on the horizon right now other than just taking a look at it, but we'll certainly let you know if that changes. And Jamie, we appreciate your call today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. Kenneth writes to us and says, I am trying to help my mom with financial decisions. She's trying to pay off her debt, but she may not be making the best decisions. How can I help her? And this sounds very similar to Alan's question. And, this is, again, a very difficult situation. Obviously, we're called to be there for our families and our parents in particular, to honor them. We see that, Jesus talked a good bit about this, that we're to provide for them when they're in need. And yet, in some cases like this, where they're making poor decisions, our attempts to help can actually fuel this negative decision-making and behavior. And we've got to be careful there. In some cases, that does involve tough love. And so I think the starting point, Kenneth, is to ask your mom if she'd be willing to sit down with you or with a third party, but I would start with you and go over her income and expenses and develop a budget. And if so, that's the place to begin. You could set up that budget with the free MoneyWise app in the App Store, and that would allow you to perhaps monitor her spending if she would allow you to do so. If you want to help her financially, perhaps I would offer the same advice that I did to Alan, Kenneth, and that is offer to match payments that she makes on her debts. Look for ways to reinforce the right behaviors. And if you do that, either make them directly to the lender, not to your mom, or if you go through credit counseling, perhaps directly to the credit counseling agency. But I think this type of thoughtful assistance, bathed in prayer, and with open and honest communication is really the key way to help a family member in need. And again, if she doesn't want to invite you at that level into her financial situation, perhaps a third party could be of assistance. That's where our MoneyWise coaches could be really helpful. These are men and women who have been trained in biblical stewardship. They have a heart to serve God's people, and they do it through MoneyWise Media at no cost. And so you could just head to our website, click on the community button, and connect with a coach. And those coaches perhaps could be the ones to sit down with your mom, work through the budget and the spending plan. And then to the extent she wants your assistance, you could ask whether the coach would then be willing to, or she would allow the coach to bring you into that and provide some information about her situation that would allow you to be able to create a plan that moves her forward in a direction that's going to get her out of debt and put her on a stronger financial footing in the future. So, Kenneth, I hope that helps you. And folks, as we think about this really difficult situation, whether it's aging parents who are in a tough spot financially or adult children, that can be equally challenging, where we're enabling them to make poor decisions, perhaps even holding them back from getting out on their own because we are, not encouraging them or exercising tough love and cutting off when that's appropriate, or at least giving a clear timetable for when they need to be on their own. These types of things can encourage folks to continue down a path that's not healthy. So let's just be careful and diligent as we do that. One quick email, and then we'll take a break and come back with more of your calls at 800-525-7000. Henry writes to us and says, how can my wife and I save together? I love that question, Henry. You know, as we think about handling our finances in marriage, it's all about oneness, right? God's design for marriage is oneness. Two flesh become one. And that includes the area of finances. So I think the starting point is to sit down and pray through it and say, what are our values and our priorities? Where is God taking us? And how can money as a tool accomplish those purposes? And as you have those conversations and wrestle through them, then the next step is to say, okay, let's set joint financial goals that support those values and priorities. Get on board with that together. And then when you know why you're headed where you're headed, well, it's a lot easier to sacrifice in the short term because you believe in the long-term outcome. Stay with us. We'll be right back on MoneyWise.
God can use persecution to strengthen the church and individuals within it.
Persecution is granted to us. Don't miss this. What an honor to be chosen to follow in the footsteps of Christ, to die like the thief beside him, so that men enslaved to sin can see the gospel written in our flesh and believe.
Gain more perspective on persecution with Jordan Chambly's article, The Victorious Persecuted Church, in the Fall 21 issue of Engage Magazine, or visit EngageMagazine.net.
As a parent, having a child move from adolescence to full adulthood can be confusing, challenging, and rewarding. On the next Focus on the Family, Brenda Garrison shares her story with her daughter, how they overcame the hurdles of worry, fear, and a pursuit of independence to restore their relationship. That's next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Did you know the MoneyWise listener call-in line at 800-525-7000 is open for business 24 hours a day? It's the number that never sleeps. So when the kids are off to school or you have a few minutes before that power lunch with a client, give us a call and leave your question. We use as many of them as we can on the show. 800-525-7000 is all you need to know to get biblically based answers to your questions here at MoneyWise. Call anytime. You won't catch us napping.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Grateful to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. Let's head back to the phones. To Texas we go. Bill, you're next on the program, sir. Go ahead.
Hello, good morning.
Hi.
Go right ahead. My question is kind of unusual, perhaps. Those of us that are believers and believe in the end times realize that a rapture is around the corner somewhere here. And so we're going to disappear. My question is this. If I have heirs that I would like to be sure have my assets in the case of a rapture, and I'm gone and they're not, how can we make sure they get their hands on the assets? There will be no death certificate, say, for example.
It is a bit interesting to think about. I would suspect there would be a death certificate, because if whatever percent of the population is gone because they've been reunited with Jesus and are now in heaven, they're not here. And, you know, I guess they'd be missing persons for a while, but at some point they would be, I think a death certificate would be issued. And that's where a beneficiary designation, so a transfer on death or something like that, could kick in. I think if you want to solve for a situation where this person or this group of people is considered missing and therefore no death certificate issued, the only way to do that would be through a joint account where there's co-ownership. In a situation like that, or through a trust. So you could draft a trust that basically, if you're incapacitated or in this case missing, the trust goes into effect, and then the successor trustee that you would name would distribute the assets outside of probate, outside the courts, based on your wishes. So that would probably be the way to go, because then all assets, and including the home and everything else, could be titled in the name of the trust, and you could allow for whatever provisions you want in that revocable trust, which becomes irrevocable at your death or when you're incapacitated, and then the successor trustee would distribute the assets accordingly. I think that'd probably be the way to go to solve for the situation you're describing, Bill.
Could it be a living trust?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. A living trust, and you know, it would name certain conditions, including those conditions that happen when you're still alive, which if that's how you know you're considered, if you're still considered alive, even though you've disappeared, that the triggering event could result in assets being passed on.
You know, the trust, I suppose you could put in a clause that says something like, you know, if missing for more than 60 days, certain things trigger.
Yeah, I think that's right. So I would connect with an estate attorney, Bill, and just talk through that and have the trust drafted the way you're describing. And I think that would allow you to have some peace of mind that you've addressed the potential situation that loved ones who haven't committed their lives to Christ, you know, are still here after the rapture.
Yeah. Okay. Kind of an unusual thought, but it's worth it.
Yeah, a very interesting question today, and a good reminder that what's most important, folks, above everything else, is that we have surrendered our lives to Christ, that we've accepted His atonement, His substitutionary atonement on the cross for our sins to be allows to be reconciled to the Father, that we might have eternal life and be in fellowship with Him. And that's what's most important today. And if you haven't trusted Jesus, well, reach out to the team at American Family Radio. We'd love to tell you more about how you can have that confidence in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bill, thanks for your call. To Missouri we go. Becky, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Yes, I am 70 years old, and my husband passed away about 3 years ago, and he was the one that took care of all of our finances, and I'm kind of embarrassed to admit that I just don't know much about it at all. But anyway, not too long after we were married, he invested in Edward D. Jones. And right now, I have like about $300,000 in that firm. Well, since listening to this program, I've become aware of how important it is to be biblically responsible. And I've kind of, I used that Christian investing tool and found out that, you know, there's not so much. Partly, you know, not so much there. But anyway, I was just wondering, I have a, I was approached by a company about an annuity, and I didn't know much about that. And so I just really want to do the right thing with my money. I don't use it as my income because, I'm a retired school teacher. And so, I really want to know what the best thing would be.
Yeah. To do with money. Well, first of all, Becky, let me just assure you, you're in a situation that so many others find themselves in. There is no reason to be embarrassed about your lack of understanding of financial matters, and that's where wise counsel comes in. So it sounds like your husband has provided for you even in death, as you all have been able to accumulate some assets and now it's just a matter of really moving forward and being found faithful in managing those and being responsible to do it in a way that's going to allow you to provide for your needs for this next season, for whatever God has for you. And I love the fact that you want to do that in a way that allows you to reflect your values as a believer in your investments. You are not living on this account. Is that right? You're not pulling anything out?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. So this money can just continue to grow.
Right.
Okay, very good.
Well, yeah, so lately it hasn't been.
Well, right. Yeah, it's been going the other way as of late. I understand that. You know, I think with regard to, you know, Edward Jones is a great firm. There's some wonderful advisors there, so I don't have any problem with that. I think the extent to which you really want your values reflected in your investments, that requires an advisor that has a unique skill set and understanding of what we call faith-based investing, where you're either avoiding certain companies that are misaligned with your Christian values, or you're embracing other companies or investments because they, in particular, seek to use investments that, you know, are cause human flourishing or make a kingdom impact, that type of thing. And certainly because this is a newer area, although there's many now wonderful investments in this space, most advisors would not be familiar with this. So I think that would be the first question is, does your advisor have the ability to offer these types of investment strategies to you? And if not, perhaps you'd want to look for somebody that does, who can, you know, bring sound investment planning and strategy to bear alongside an understanding of the investments that you're buying and owning. And that's what you are, an owner of these companies, even a small percentage owner, and making sure that those companies are ones that align with your values. And there's fund families available like Eventide and Timothy and so many others that can offer that. There's even some that offer exchange-traded funds, and many of them are available at Edward Jones. So what I would probably do, Becky, is talk to your advisor about that, let him or her know that that's a desire of yours, and hopefully, they'll be really clear about whether or not this is an area of expertise that they have. And if not, if you wanted to look for another advisor, you could go to our website, moneywise.org, and click Find a CKA. That stands for Certified Kingdom Advisor. I'd interview several there in Missouri and find the one that's the best fit for you that could offer this type of investment. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, that would be great.
Good. All right. Well, I think that will get you pointed in the right direction. Do you have any other concerns just as you think about your financial life other than making sure that the investments are positioned appropriately?
Do you know anything about the Samaritan Purse annuities?
Well, I'm very familiar with Samaritan's Purse, a wonderful ministry doing great work all over the globe. Annuities, would it be a charitable gift annuity? Is that what?
Yeah, I think that's the way.
Yeah. So I'm a fan of charitable gift annuities, essentially where you create, you take a, an asset and put it into an annuity that creates an income stream for you that ultimately then will benefit a ministry that is near to your heart. And so I think that could be a great option. Now, in your situation, you're not looking for income because your income is covered. So it's certainly something you could look at. You could also just, keep investing this and growing it so that it's there if you needed it for, let's say, long-term care or major medical expenses down the road, the ability to tap into it. If you needed, let's say you needed 3 years worth of care and that was going to cost, $100,000 a year. I like the fact that that would be there and available to you. And then if you don't need it, then it could be, given away at your death to Samaritan's Purse or whatever ministry you wanted. So that would be the other option. But I kind of like in your situation, because you're not looking for that income stream that the charitable gift annuity would provide, I kind of like the idea of you hanging on to the principal, but making sure it's invested so that it can grow on a conservative basis over time.
Okay. All right. I appreciate it so much.
You're welcome, very Becky. Much. God bless you, and thanks for calling today. We appreciate you checking in with us. Well, folks, we've covered a lot of ground today. As we think about applying God's wisdom to our financial decisions, it can seem overwhelming. Like, there's so many choices and annuities and investments and credit cards and credit scores and identity theft, and it can be overwhelming. And really, we can boil it down into some simple principles that all come from God's Word. Here's what they are. Number one, we want to live within our means. Sounds simple. It's not. You've got to be intentional and have a spending plan to do it. Number two, we want to avoid the use of debt. Borrowing is not a sin, but there are clear warnings in Scripture around debt, so avoid use of debt. Number three, have some margin. That is something left over at the end of the month for you to save and give beyond your tithe. Margin is so key, and by the way, it's really helpful in marriage as well, studies show. Thirdly, you want to have some long-term goals. The longer term the perspective, the better the financial decision today, and those goals should align with your values. And then five, we want to give generously. God's heart is that we want to be connected into His activity, and we can do that through our giving. Those five simple principles will put you in a position to experience God's best. Hey, thanks to my team today, Robert Sutherland, Pat Montague, Devin Patrick. Couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here as well. Come back and join us tomorrow, Lord willing. I'll be here for the final edition of the broadcast this week. We'll see you then. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.